And it needs structuring. It needs structuring. It's okay on the grassroots level, but we can't put it in the presidency. It just can't rule there. Then how come Jesus is called Lord then? How come he's called Lord? But understand, Jesus said, thy kingdom come. He wasn't Lord in a kingdom. He wasn't Lord on top of the mountain. He was Lord down on the earth with the grassroots. In order for him to be Lord in the top of the mountain, he has to be fulfilled in Prophet Muhammad, and he has to become rational leadership. Jesus did not represent rational leadership. Jesus never told his followers to follow academic discipline. He told his followers, he said, go such and such place and preach. He said, take no thought as to what you will say. When you get there, the Spirit will speak to you and say whatsoever the Spirit moves you to say. Isn't that the Bible? Yes! This is ball. This is ball. But this is a good ball. So what it is saying is this, that man has in human being, has in our sense makeup, in our nervous system, and the sense makeup, we have two kinds of components working in there. One component says, go right, do what's right. It's a spiritual component. It's a spiritual component. But it says, do right. Do right. And the other side of that component, when it is reversed and it goes astray, goes in opposition to the nature, the kingdom within, when it goes in opposition to that, it says, do what's wrong. Right? Now, they both are spirit, aren't they? They both are spirit. I've never heard any bad talk, a bad thought, talk to me from a complete text. Have you? I've never heard any bad thoughts in my mind speak to me from a written text. It's always an influence that comes. An influence comes as a spiritual, thing working. It comes first, and actually I don't even know what it's saying first. All I know is an influence is moving me. And I look, and before I know it, my thoughts ain't come to me. Say, Wallace, you're looking at that woman's legs, man. Wallace, you're looking at that sister's hips. And I say, oh my God. But it already has happened. Because the Spirit can speak without a text. If the Spirit had to vocalize everything it has to say, man, we would have to have about 100 hours in our day rather than 24. Ball. So Jesus come in riding the donkey in the scripture to explain why Baal once was Lord. There wasn't nothing wrong with the spiritual nature. But they left their correct spiritual nature. And the wrong spiritual nature took them over. And that's how come Baal became an unfit deity. An unfit deity. But if the right Baal is there, that Baal is fit to rule in you. Fit to rule in you. Not a deity as we imagine in religion now today, a God, the God Almighty. No. But a ruler within you. Isn't Christ the ruler within you? According to their own language, Christ is the ruler within you. Christ is the ruler within the church. Christ is the ruler in the man. Yes. So it's speaking of the spiritual nature that gives its obedience to the nature that God created for it. It gives its obedience to its architect, who is the Almighty Creator. It gives its obedience to that. So to conform to the will of God, my spirit within my body has to conform to the principles and designs of my human nature. Doesn't human nature tell us when we're going wrong? No baby have ever become a devil without his nature warning him. No. The nature will warn you. But if you continue over the years, pretty soon your senses get dumb. Your senses get dull. And you can't hear the good ball speaking to you. But the good ball is still speaking. But you've heard so long and ignored so long until you can't hear anymore. God said he sealed their ears and they cannot hear. Not that he sealed the ears directly, but he has designed your nature so that if you ignore it too long, you become deaf to it. That's your punishment, that he has clocked into your nature. So can't you see that in your nature is also your executor? Your savior and your executor is all clocked into your nature. Yes. If you will not use your eyes to see what is right, what your soul tells you when you're healthy, that is right. Nature will put out your eyes. Nature will deafen your ears. Nature will confuse your tongue. Whereas you were speaking sensibly 10 years ago, you'll be speaking like a corrupt fool today. So isn't there a Christ in you that liberates you? And when he gets ready, when he decides that you've gone too far, he executes judgment on you. He will cut your head off. He will put you in the fire. He will dismember you. He will give you whatever execution you have earned. Yes. Built into your metabolism. Built into your nervous system. Built into your sense maker. Your Christ. The Christ within you. When that ball in us, or that Christ in us dies, what can we do? Can we talk sense? Can Muhammad talk to them? Somebody will say yes. I say no. Muhammad didn't come before Christ. Muhammad came after Christ. I hope you all can have patience with me. I'm talking about you who think you know everything. Prophet Muhammad can't talk to those people until first Baal speaks to them. Not the corrupt Baal, the righteous Lord within their own makeup. The righteous Baal must speak to them. Allah says never will he change the state of a people until they change the state of their soul. You have to have a rebirth of spirit in you. A rebirth, a renewal of spirit in you to do right. When the spirit is renewed and reborn in you to be obedient to Allah, to do what is right, then rational knowledge can speak to you. You can't speak any rational sense to these crazy people out there that's just have given their whole mind to having a ball. You go out there and try to talk sense to them. They might cut you, man. They might shoot you. They might beat you to death with their fists like they're some dumb brute. Yes, they'll kill you. They'll beat you to death with their bare fists if you speak intelligence to them while they're having their ball. So when a person goes astray like that, rational approach doesn't work. You have to do something to kindle in them, to spark in them, a desire again to follow the ball within their own nature. Not the corrupt ball, the righteous ball within their nature. How can that teach us? Because Christ is teacher, isn't he? Christ is teacher. How can that teach us? Moral consciousness disciplines us. If we follow its discipline, if we follow its discipline, it will teach us. It will guide us to understanding. Oh, yes. The Spirit will guide us to understanding. Once understanding takes the form of rational activity in our conscience, then it has to go away. And he said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter is not Baal, because Scripture says God will give you another Comforter. Is that right? So there's one Comforter, and then behind that Comforter comes another Comforter. The spiritual consciousness is one comforter. It will comfort us when our mind, when we are in trouble, when we've been mistreated, when we've done wrong, but we still think we have goodness in us. That good consciousness starts addressing us. It gets on the pulpit, and it begins to speak to us, and it begins to soothe our burning soul, and it makes us feel good again. And we can go and speak to the wife with no problem. Although we know we sinned against her last night. But after listening to Baal talk to us, the righteous Baal talk to us, righteous Baal is a just Baal. He's a just Lord. He say, look, you're not as bad as you thinking you are. Now, you did do that, but don't forget all the good you did yesterday and the other day. Now, put all that on the scale now. Now, Johnny, do you think you're still a no good rascal? You think you're still not fit to speak to your wife? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he go and did speak to his wife, and he hug and kiss her like no wrong had ever been done. And they continue their beautiful relationship. Is that right? Because Baal within him forgave him his sins and told him, you got another chance. The scale still is not tilted all the way. So you still got a chance. Go on back. Don't tell your wife what you did, fool. Go on back. Yes. Don't you think it's more socially significant and more socially benefiting for us to have this sense of our own nature in us rather than to give it to some spooky concept of God having some spooky son? Don't you think this society is enslaving our minds by giving us the spooky son Jesus and not letting us know that the Jesus, the Lord, is really within our own selves? Huh? Don't you think they're doing a disservice? Now, we're not even bringing in the charge against God that they make when they accuse him of having a son by a woman. But even worse than that, look at what they're doing to us. They have committed a crime against God. But maybe man can commit crimes against God in ignorance. But when a nation, when a society, when a government, when imperialism is just perpetrated and continued century after century and millennium after millennium and giving people these spooky concepts of something that is really their own private possession. The Christ that they described is my own private possession. I didn't need a prophet to give it to me. God created me with it. It doesn't belong to that Jesus any more than it belongs to me. Yes. The scripture has said, and we know, that human life is contained spiritually. It is ruled over spiritually. It is directed spiritually. It finds its home upon spiritual impulse or spiritual stimulus. Spiritual stimulus motivates it and pushes it and drives it to its home. Spiritual stimulus brings about a revelation within it, and it began to interpret out of the vague, nebulous concept that it had when it was spiritual. It began to interpret the logic, began to examine its own self and study its own makeup scientifically, and it comes into the possession of social science, of psychology, of astronomy, mathematics, political science, and all the rest. Upon what? Upon that spiritual life and spiritual impulse that brings it in touch with the great knowledge. God did this. That's why Allah said in the Quran that when he wants a son, he creates one from among those that he's already created. So actually, this thing they call the birth of Christ is not a birth. It's a creation. God created that. And all he has to do is respond to our goodness.
If we will respect what he has created us,
naturally, respect it enough to at least be decent in life,
that will earn from God then another blessing.
And the other blessing is to see with your rational eye
what he has made you.
When you can see with your rational eye your own constitution, then you say, thank God Almighty, God has given me in my own constitution the pattern upon which to structure great governments, great civilizations, great societies. Then man sees in his own inherent pattern the location for the resources that hold the resources to all the sciences, to all the sciences. Allah says of Adam, and he taught Adam all the words. The words stand there for the sciences. He taught Adam all the sciences. And only Adam can get the sciences, because Adam represents man in his natural makeup, man in his native self that God created. That's what Adam represents. Yes. The fallen Adam represents the man who forgot his original self. That's the fallen Adam. And from him come the fall spirits, or the desirous impulses, and the irrational attitude that comes along with those wild impulses, the degeneration, the destruction of the great life that God created for us in Hawa, or Eve, as she is called. Right? He represents the beginning of that decline. Pardon me, the fallen Adam represents the beginning, but she represents the leadership that comes, and from her comes Cain and all the others that take us farther and farther away from the natural order of life and fill the earth with misery, lies, cruelty. Yes. This is precious knowledge. This kind of knowledge gives you the basic understanding you need for you to go back to college and get your degree. Many of you couldn't get a degree. You went so far and you just couldn't go no further. You knew you weren't stupid. But they have given a select few in this society some sense of what really life is. They sent us to these colleges carrying fairy tales on our minds and trying to make them reality. So when real sense, when real scientific life comes in contact, when we are confronted with it, it demands something of us that most of us don't have the ability to muster. It demands that we throw a ball off our back. It's expedient that he go away when logical rule comes into the body. Yes. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, dear people, let us go over a few more things before I conclude this. Science today describes our nervous system and its operation as a matter of chemistry, don't they? A matter of chemistry. Now, chemistry deals with what more than physics? Chemistry deals with liquids more than physics. Physics deals with liquids, solids, gases. But chemistry deals with the molecular and chemical nature of things. It deals more with influences in the essence of the thing. The essence of the thing. Whereas physics deals with influences in the body of the thing, right? So chemistry is getting more down to the essence of the thing. Now, in the Genesis, God says that there was darkness upon the water, according to the Bible, Genesis. And God said, let there be light. There was darkness upon the water. Now, water is something that is very descriptive of our nervous system.
Water is responds to the least friction, doesn't it? And your nervous system is the same way. It operates the same way. Your nervous system responds to the least little friction. The least little friction and the water just quivers all over. Right? Another thing about the water is that the water, if it's natural, it's without smell, it's without taste. If it's pure, it's without smell, it's without taste, it's without color, it's transparent, it's a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Right? So we see that the Bible is telling us that if you have a clear conscience, the Spirit of God will move on that conscience. And God will reward that clear conscience with understanding. And God said, and let there be light, and there was light. Yes. And from that clear consciousness came the world. The world was created, and everything was brought about, and nations began to grow and multiply. Is that right? Yes. So what is the scripture telling us? That society has evolved, or has emanated, grown out of clear consciousness. The wicked mind can't produce this world. When this world goes off the track, don't think we can put some immoral president in the seat and he's going to bring us back. No, it may look like a temporary recovery, but that recovery will be temporary. Once the evil set in, brother, if we don't get a clear conscious person to bring us back, it's going to keep growing more and more. It's going to increase upon us until it takes us down, down, down to total destruction. Yes. So life is metabolism. Oh, yes. Sensation in the body takes the form of subjects in a kingdom within ourselves. And these feelings or sensations make judgments. They speak to our consciousness. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, no one among you becomes a believer until his desires follow what I bring to you. Here is a witness from Hadith that Prophet Muhammad cannot go directly to your troubled world or your troubled self. Something has to happen within you first. Oh, yes. Your desires have to become right within yourself. The soul has to take its natural order, its natural state in the person first. And all of us are capable of that. As long as the will in us is for wrong, nothing can make us right. As long as we have a strong will in us for wrong, nothing can make us right. It would be against justice. It would be against divine justice. It would be against universal justice. It would be against Allah for you to be forced to become a good person while your will is against that. Because your will is coming from corruption. It's not coming from your nature. It's coming from corruption. You weren't born with that strong will to be wrong. It's coming from corruption. Now all you have to do is go back to the nature God gave you, and you'll be free of that terrible will. You'll throw that ball off your back and get the right one on it. Is that right? So why should God help you when you have a strong will not to hear? And the Bible says, I think it says, who is so blind as those who will not see? It means they have a will not to see. But can you give hearing to those who will not hear? Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, can you make the deaf to hear? When they have filled their ears up willingly against what you're saying, they don't want to hear what you're saying. How can you make them hear? And for us to use some psychology on the people and to reduce them to a level beneath the dignity that God created them in
makes us a satanic society. A satanic society. Because Satan is the one that is not satisfied with human resistance.
He's not satisfied with human beings' free will.
God created us with free will, and Allah wants us to keep that dignity of having free will.
Allah wants you to come to right with your own senses, with your own intelligence, with your own heart, with your own desire.
He wants you to come to the right place, to the right situation, to the right position.
Allah will not trick you to get you to come to the right place or to the right position. But Satan will trick you.
Satan say, oh, I have a wisdom.
Say, God, they're giving you a lot of trouble. They won't hear you no more.
Watch me go down and do my stuff. I'll come up and do my stuff, whatever the way you see it.
Knowing the psychology of the human psychic makeup, knowing your metabolism and how that metabolism affects your nervous system and your consciousness and your social behavior, Satan comes up with knowledge that he stole from the prophet. And he uses the science of your metabolism, your human, your natural and social metabolism. He uses that science, and what he does is drive you to greater disobedience. He uses the principle of built-in destruction to blow you to smithereens. And once you're helpless, then he says, come on now. God, you can talk to him now. You can talk to him now, God. You see now you made a mistake, God, in choosing man, natural man. How come you didn't choose me, God? See how I have to always come to the rescue of your natural man? That's Satan's boast. But what Satan doesn't know with his blind self-centered self, what he doesn't know is that God has created him and us. And God knew what he would do before he created him. He created him to do what he wants to do, if he wants to do it. But if he wants to serve God, God has put that nature in Satan too. Oh, yes. But God says that I have not created men or jinn for anything except my worship. God has not made any evil spirit to torment us, to rob us of our freedom, of our dignity. God has not created a spirit to do that. And I'm speaking on the Quran, the basis of the Quran. God has not created any wicked spirit to do that. God has created every spirit in us to obey him. That's the nature of every part of us to obey him. But man, if he goes astray from God, or if the spirit goes astray from God and began to charm itself with its own miraculous feats, pretty soon it becomes so charmed by what it can do that it began to worship itself. God then created it, didn't create the being for that. The being gave itself to that against the pull of its righteous consciousness. Yes. So when we become devil, we made ourselves devil. When Satan became Satan, he made himself Satan. Allah didn't make him Satan. Satan made himself Satan. Allah made him to obey nature. He went astray from nature, and he began to use the key knowledge of nature. He began to use the wisdom of nature to take advantage. He began to reverse nature. He began to execute nature on a human being that is executed outside of the human being. It's the nature of the natural world that once it get out of balance, something happens physically and shifts things back. So naturally, if we give ourselves the wrong, in time, the wrong, will, if it continues to grow, it will grow to be such a burden, it will become so big that it will even awake the dumbest person to see that it's wrong. See? So Satan knows that. But he's not supposed to create that artificially. He's not supposed to come in and stimulate my appetite for wrong, to inflate my appetite for wrong, to bring about my judgment sooner. He's not supposed to do that. When he does that, he does it against the will of the Creator. That's why Allah says, if that is your will, go on. He says, but I will fill hell with you both. Allah says in the Quran, I will fill hell with Satan and his disciples. Because Allah has not sanctioned that kind of control over society. America has been guilty of exercising...